Astonishing Legends is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things that people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Potential savings will vary.
Not available in all states or situations.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume. Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Astonishing Legends Network.
The views and opinions expressed by hosts and listeners on the Astonishing Dead Letter Office are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of Astonishing Legends Productions, the Astonishing Legends Network, or any affiliated entities or guests.
When something unexplainable happens to you, it can make you feel isolated or alone. But trust us, you're not. For over a decade, you've been sending your strange stories to Astonishing Legends. And now it's time for our fellow legenders to hear them too. Join us weekly in Blanket Fortiana as we dig through your intriguing messages to the Astonishing Dead Letter Office.
Tonight's episode, The Wood Sprite.
Well, this is a good one. I'm excited about this one. We get a lot of ghost stories, and it's great. We love the ghost stories, but it's also fun to talk about the other stuff that we talk about on our main show, you know, cryptids, UFOs, time slips, unexplained phenomena, skinwalkers, rougarous, puckwudgies, you name it. We want to hear the stories. I like the military ones, too. We have a few more of those coming up. People experiencing strange things while they're abroad and also in warfare. This one's different. I think folks are going to like it.
Yeah, I do wonder about the frequency or the... It'd be hard to gauge this, I suppose. You'd need a statistician to go over, like, how many ghost stories compared to UFO stories, compared to cryptid stories that are generally sent in. I think there's a lot of factors. Some are sociological, some are psychological, some are just the availability. I think ghost stories, though, most people, at least the ones that we've come across that have responded to us, that seems to be the majority. And maybe there's just more ghosts out there and you're more likely to see one.
That's what I'm wondering.
And also, I think they are in places where you can go to see them. So you can go to a haunted house. You can do an overnight lockdown.
You know where they're hanging out.
Yeah, well, they do, maybe sometimes, maybe not all the time, but they are in certain locations where you're more likely, I would say, to have an experience like that. But out in the wild, weird, wide woods of anywhere, really, on this earth, it's so vast, your chances of seeing something unusual, I think, are much less. Of course, our atmosphere is like that, but there's tons of UFO stories. And I think maybe that's one where people don't readily report those. But I give credit, a lot of credit, to our listener here for submitting this one, because what I like about it is that the scene that is set, the picture that is painted, is one of quiet serenity in the woods. She really emphasizes how much experience she has. That's another factor, too. We see a lot of people saying, hey, you know what? I've grown up in the woods. I've spent so many hours out here. This is one of my favorite hobbies. I spent years. I know everything about the woods and especially the terror that I stomp on in my location. And so I will tell you that I know pretty much every creature, flora, fauna, and sounds and sights that one could come across or is expected to. So we get that a lot. It's just people telling us that, like, hey, it's not my first time out in the woods, not my first rodeo. I know what to expect. And this is certainly unexpected. So She also takes pride in her hunting ability, the prowess and acumen, and the ability to blend into her surroundings. And today, this experience was no exception to that.
This letter comes to us from Alicia, an experienced hunter who was on a hunting trip for white-tailed deer in Michigan's Upper Peninsula on a beautiful winter day at the top of the hunting season. She was able to conceal herself for many, many hours, which may be a large part of why she actually saw something, and she did, off in the distance, something she could not explain, something that, well, shouldn't exist.
It shouldn't, but we've gotten a handful of stories of people. We were just recently talking about gnomes, I think, and
yeah.
Small tunic
yeah, right.
creatures with a little belt and the pointy hat even. And I think that maybe is, I don't know, I've not experienced one. If you see something like that, that's more fairy book. Is it less shocking? Is it more? Do you consider that more to be your imagination? And because it's such a common experience and this is something different, but of the little people ilk. And it seems to have put her into a bit of mild shock. But the story gets even stranger when she attempts to see what it was through the aid of magnification.
All right, sir. I believe it is your turn to read the story tonight.
All righty then. I saw something in the woods, and I don't know how to explain it. Someone needs to know. I have to tell someone, but I can hardly believe it myself. Let me start by stating that I'm no stranger to the wilderness. I practically grew up outside, hiking, camping, fishing, hunting, and doing just about everything else you can imagine. From sun-soaked days on a beach to the frigid temperatures of the Arctic, I find myself most comfortable outdoors. So, I'm aware of nature's keen ability to play tricks on your eyes and make you question what you're seeing. And that's just it, though. This was no trick. About a month ago, I was white-tailed deer hunting in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, where I have lived for the past year. My hunting partner and I spent 2 months scouting for a good location and tracking deer prior to opening day. We wanted to ensure a successful hunt, after all. So, while I did not grow up in the area, my lifetime of experiences as a well-rounded outdoors woman and the time we spent scouting this large chunk of land lead me to state with confidence that I know the area well. Opening day of deer season boasted 10-degree weather, winds, and snow. I spotted plenty of deer that day and enjoyed the anticipation of waiting for a big buck to saunter by so I could take him home. At approximately 4:30 p.m., I noticed a slight movement to my right. Turning slowly, I scanned the area hoping to find my trophy buck. Nothing was there. I took a closer look along the tree lines, into the shrubs, and double-checking the foreground. Still, nothing. So, I dipped my head a bit, tilted it, and even brought my chin up with the hopes that a different angle would lead me to identify what has caught my eye. Of course, I didn't see a thing. After a few minutes of scanning the area and waiting, I was ready to write it off to the movement of the wind through the trees or a squirrel. Pulling my gaze back to my main focus, I caught it. There was a small, dark creature sitting on a log about 65 yards away, obstructed almost entirely from sight by a cropping of short, willowy pine trees. I stared, unsure of what it was. It looked like the outline of a tiny person. Not a child, but like a fully grown man was scaled down to be 2 or 3 feet tall. Now, I know very generally of the tales of little people and even fairies, but I take a lot of that in with an equally large dose of skepticism and respect for oral history. Whatever it was, though, it wasn't moving a lot. I stared at it for a few moments longer, trying to come to a rational conclusion. It was getting dusky out, and the view was obstructed, so maybe it was a fisher or an odd bird. Far too curious at this point, I lifted my gun, intent on using the scope to take a closer look at the creature. Not to shoot it. I stung my rifle tight against me, held it steady, and used my other hand to dial in the scope. It was a little bipedal creature. The being was a deep gray, maybe black, a color with no definable features. If it had hair or scales, they were tight and too short to tell. There was no shine to it or hint of light reflecting off its skin. It looked human. My breath caught, and for the first time in my life, I froze up. I couldn't move, couldn't breathe, and suddenly the world went quiet around me. A sharp pain in my chest caused me to gasp, loud and hard. I had been holding my breath and didn't realize it until my body reacted on its own and demanded I breathe. The sound must have caught the creature's attention because it started to turn its head towards me. Startled even further, I jerked back and lost sight of it through my scope. My heart raced, and I could feel the burn of adrenaline coursing through me. I refocused my eyes to the area, but a heartbeat later, only to find that the creature was gone. I looked hard and even tried to locate it again using my scope. Nothing. Breathing slowly through the adrenaline rush and pushing down the fear I refused to acknowledge at the time, I slung my rifle over my shoulder and stood up. Dipping out of the ground covering I was using, I unholstered my pistol and went to investigate. Why did I draw my pistol? Trepidation. I wanted a weapon for self-defense, and the rifle would have been more difficult to operate effectively at a close range. Taking decisive and careful steps so as not to ruin any potential track the creature may have left, I headed to the log I had spotted it sitting on. There was no sign of it. Not a single track or indent in the snow. Not even on the log where it had sat. Maybe it flew away. I checked the trees by the log. Nothing. No disturbance of snow on the branches or the ground under them. I spent the next hour looking for a trace of this thing, growing my search radius out around me in an outward spiral pattern, and found nothing. Everything leaves a trail, especially in puffy, fresh-fallen snow. Heck, even the dried leaves blowing by on the forest floor were leaving faint marks in this type of snow. Whatever this creature was, it literally vanished without a trace. About 45 minutes later, I realized that it was dark now. So, I trekked back to my hunting spot. On my journey out of the woods, I turned on my emergency headlamp, even though it wasn't that dark, and kept my pistol in hand. Honestly afraid for the first time since I was a small child. Writing this out has been a therapeutic endeavor, and I thank you for allowing me a place to speak, even if no one hears it. Having some time to look back on this encounter, I wonder, did I scare the creature just as much as it scared me? I had been hunkered down in my hunting spot since 7 a.m. and had not moved for 9.5 hours. Really, I didn't eat, use the restroom, or take a walk about to stretch my legs. I even tried not to fidget or puff my scent about. I worked to become a part of the natural world around me, as all good hunters strive to do. Perhaps I saw this thing because it had no idea I was there in the woods, waiting silently.
I love this story. Mm-hmm. First of all, Alicia is a great storyteller. I love how this is written. Yeah. It's very, I don't know, it gives us some insight into what's going through her mind as she's going through this. I love how clear she's made it that she has this experience. This is her world. This is what she does, which adds to the validity of it. You know, I had questions about her hunting partner because she mentioned that we had been scouting the area before the season started to see where the deer were and decide where we wanted to hunt. And so I actually sent her an email asking her more questions, like, where was your hunting partner? I know a lot of times I don't hunt, but I have lots of friends who do. I know that you don't go out near each other because you don't want to shoot each other. But I was wondering if they talked about it or if that person saw anything that day. So maybe she'll get back to us before we get done with this recording session. But, you know, I don't know. What do you think this was, Forrest? I mean, we called this the wood sprite, but like when I think of a tiny bipedal creature, it's like, I was like, well, the first thing I think of is that crazy thing that used to hang out with Jabba the Hutt or whatever, that would jump on the ceiling when it got in trouble. Then I was thinking about the aliens and Men in Black that are in the coffee room, just like some weird thing out in the woods sitting on a log. But it also was something that obviously was very comfortable, but it left no trail or no tracks. She absolutely would have seen that with her experience, you know, and unless for some reason she went to the wrong spot, but it's hard to imagine that she didn't get to the exact spot she was looking at. What do you think about that? Like from a folklore or a paranormal standpoint, what kind of creature this might have been?
Well, when you see this kind of outrageous sight and have this kind of experience and see something that it should not exist in our reality. You have to also realize what it would be like to see something that is totally outside the scope and possibility of our reality.
Yeah.
I know that's philosophical, but I do wonder, like, seeing a craft. Yeah, it might be solid, but it might be just an amorphous Merkaba UFO type, which is changing shape and this and that, or seeing a little alien body in the back of your back of your South American police car. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like this, yeah, that shouldn't exist, especially I think with creatures. We can pass off craft, even if it's a giant rusty lantern that Woody Derenberger saw with Indrid Cold in it, because it's at least that's a machine of some type, even though it's doing impossible things. Seeing a creature that is outside of your experience really just must be a novel experience, I guess, just something that is that just blows your mind. So, of course, you're going to pay attention and maybe don't remember all the details. Like, well, I was wondering, was it clothed? Was it all natural out in the woods? She did mention, you know, she didn't see any scales or fur, it seemed like. It just seemed very human, as she said, and not like a child, but like a homunculus, you know, a small miniature man.
Yeah.
But above all that, one detail struck with me, and we've heard it before, but the fact that it was colored a dark gray. And who's told us that before? Our good friend Amelia Cotter, in one of her experiences, I think this was in her apartment, where she was describing it as with the clothing of that was more gnome-like, but the appearance was gray, all of it, I think, or just like it was black and white. It was very odd. And so that stuck with me ever since. I think we've heard that at least maybe once or more, twice from listener letters years ago, about some kind of creature that seemed kind of fuzzy or out of focus and was also gray. So what's the gray got to do with it?
Yeah.
Is it the fact that it is it actually gray, or are the colors not translating to our world, to our visual perception? Is it outside of the range of what we're able to perceive? Because, of course, she also saw it in her periphery, where we're more likely to see strange things. So that's one thing that stuck out to me, a commonality, because again, and we go back to this a lot, I know, but all we can do is try and make connections, and people ask us like, well, what is this thing? What happened to me? What did I see? It's like, well, we can't say for certain because not all the details, I guess, unless it really is a gnome thing. And if you're sincere and you're honest and you actually did see something that had the little, the tunic and the curly shoes and the leather belt with the floppy pointy cap, maybe that is a gnome. Maybe that's exactly what that is in the ways that we think of traditionally with folklore. But this, I'm not so sure. It's like, because you've heard a lot of diminutive being creatures, like you were talking about, Pukwudgies, different types of beings out in the woods that have been reported by indigenous people for thousands of years, maybe tens of thousands of years. And they certainly have a relationship to them, because we've heard about that too. I think a native listener had told us his grandfather told him to beware of these things, and he actually saw one himself. And grandfather's advice was, it's very special to see one, but do not approach it. Do not interact with it. Nothing good comes of that. But it's a special sighting. So I tend to follow that. It's great that you saw one. I would have gone and investigated with a sidearm, but just to see what did I actually see. But it was interesting.
Yeah, you don't want to get down there and find out it's a face hugger, because it doesn't even matter if you have a pistol at that point.
Well, a pistol. Look, I'd rather have one than not. You know, you always tease me about that. It's like Skinwalker Ranch. What's the firearm going to do for you? Well, it did help a little. It's better than nothing. It's better than throwing rocks at something. That's a childhood thing. I'd rather be hiding under the bed or behind the door with a baseball bat than under the covers where they can obviously see the lump. So, but that's also, I understand that. And that sometimes works a lot for people, that you just kind of break that gaze, which is what's happening here, that line of sight, that connection, where I do wonder if it was just a surprise. We often hear that too, where people report seeing crazy creatures, 7-8 foot tall praying mantis type things that just pop into, fade into reality. And they look just as surprised as the human viewer. Like, what are you? Or you weren't supposed to see me. So what do you think? What does this remind you of?
You know, this is why I love talking with you about this stuff, because even though we prepped this story and we've got the outline and looking at it, and a lot of times the thoughts that I'm having that are related to the event don't come through until you and I are reflecting it. You tell the story or I read it, and then we talk about it a little bit. And here's a thought I just had, and I can't believe it didn't occur to me until just now, but I wonder if, you know, because when she said she kind of saw something and then she went through the scope to find it, and we were talking about, you just mentioned it, peripheral vision, and we seeing things in our peripheral vision, something we brought up on the show before, also on our main show about people seeing things off to the side. There's all kinds of theories and stories that connect to that. But it makes me wonder if maybe if she hadn't been looking through the scope, if she wouldn't have been able to see it because the scope blocked out her peripheral field of view.
It definitely has something to do with how light enters the eye. Because, of course, everything we see is just a reflection of light. It's not actually it can be emitting light, but basically everything we see is an illusion. And as we know philosophically, it's your brain putting that reflected light through your eyes into your brain and interpreting an image. We've talked about this on a past junk drawer, I think, especially with ghosts, seeing something out of the corner of your eye and the theory that the rods and cones are longer in the corners, the periphery of your eye. So that's maybe why you're more apt to see them, something like that. You know, the Upper Peninsula has been described to me. I would love to go there. I've never been. It's a little far out of the way because if you look at a map of the United States and you see the mitten of Michigan, it's mitten-shaped. That peninsula is a little far off the beaten path, you could say. And so, which is perfect, I think, for hunting, of course, and seeing strange things and a more outdoorsy type of destination. And there are lots of UAP-type sightings, things in the sky that people see, but also other strange occurrences. So to make that connection between ghosts, cryptids, and UFOs again, and the grand unified theory of the paranormal, that maybe because it's quieter, you had made some notes here, because does that affect your perception because you've been sitting in the woods for so long? Does that mess it up? I think no. I think you're more in tune to maybe see something because the noise is quieted and it's more of a meditative state. You're maybe more open to it. And that's maybe also the solitude and the quietness and the remoteness of it is why people pay more attention. But Michigan is a very magical place in a lot of ways. And people see some strange things, especially with the lake there. Lots of UFO stories. Remember that famous one that I think was in the late 90s where it ended up on radar. A guy had recorded it. I think he was looking at weather radar. And it actually called it in where a lot of people wouldn't. And then there was a dozen or more sightings that people had phoned in, but they also said that they saw the craft that was singularly reported drawing water out of Lake Michigan.
Oh, right.
So all kinds of, it's a very rural and rustic, magical kind of place. But again, this is a pretty rare sight. Like I said, you didn't just get out of the car, grab your backpack, and that's the first thing you saw. Although sometimes people do report that. As well, here it took a lot of quietness and sitting and blending in. And I do think there was something about that where the other little people, gnome type stories, little human stories that we have come across, the ones that the observer saw a reaction to, it was akin to that, you know, like I said, a lot of the gut feeling, and people will ridicule me for always coming back to that. But what did you feel was communicated without words? And a few stories will say, like, they seemed very surprised that I could see them because they are the masters of the deep, dark woods. And it's their stomping grounds. And it's where they live. They own this. They've been there since time immemorial, since the beginning of time. And we're lesser creatures. We're crude. We're base. We're very primitive to them. And how could they see us? So there's a little bit of shock and maybe a little bit of embarrassment that they've been caught, because what's the saying we get from the animated series that we were turned on to? And actually, we talked about this last time in one of our gnome stories, that the gnome is everywhere that we're not. And they basically know when we're out there, and that's when they come out. And so they get caught off guard. And I think if you're quite, well, it's like any other animal you're hunting for, predator and prey. Deer are very perceptive. If you've ever been near one out in the woods, that's why you try not to show the steam from your breath. One old trick is you put a little piece of snow in your mouth. if you're hunting. So anything that's not supposed to be there, they notice usually.
Yeah.
And that's also the reward of the hunter, is that you were able to outfox them. You were able to be stealthier than they are, because that's their evolution. They're always being hunted. They're aware of this kind of stuff. And so if you get one up on them, that's your advantage, and that's how you eat later that day for you and your family. Yeah, it's like what you were saying. I think there's something to this that is, I don't know, just very ancient. And it has to do, like you were saying, with observing. And maybe they're around all the time. And that's the trick they pull on us, is that they're tromping around all the time in the woods in various places, and no one ever sees them. But on a very rare occasion, they do.
That's the thing I'm saying, too, because, you know, I mean, you mentioned aliens and the and UAP in the area. But for me, and there's no reason for me to say this, but this to me, just in the telling of the story, felt more like some kind of cohabitation experience with something that you don't get to see, that, right, like you just said, is always there, and maybe a terrestrial of some kind that just we don't interact with unless something very unusual happens.
Right. And you could also, I think, argue the, not very well to the debunker's point, but you, not very well, but you could argue that because there were no tracks or any trace of it in the very delicate dusting of snow, that what was seen was something that faded into our dimension briefly and then faded out. So it wasn't really physically here. It just, like a lot of the magical, where the fairyland is, they kind of fade in to our existence for a little while. Now, I do like the other story, and I think this was Amelia's uncle, perhaps, who I think also was out hunting and saw a little creature, a little gnome type guy. But when he saw it and it got startled, it ran off into a wood or the Shire or wherever they're from. And he saw a trail of like leaves and dust being kicked up as it scurried out.
Oh, right.
So it had some physical effect in our reality, in our world. Here, though, it may have just kind of faded in for a little bit. As I believe, again, this is all kind of ridiculous if you don't believe any of this stuff, but the praying mantis figure kind of faded in, or may have just been cloaked, and the cloaking device doesn't always work. Nothing's perfect. Everybody thinks that, well, if they're that advanced, why are we seeing them? They have the technology and this and that. It's like, hey, nothing works all the time. Think about how our world today seems so advanced to somebody from anything past the early 20th century would seem. But how many times have you and I tried to get in to log into something that we're using, and it's like, oh, you need the password. Oh, you pick the five pictures here that look like a train. Oh, God, the login doesn't work. This doesn't work. It's like, I always have a laugh on these spy shows where the technology, they're trying to get something to work. It's like, give me all the traffic cams from this whole, like, six blocks. It's like, really? The login worked for that? Oh, the password didn't update? You need to do an update. No, nothing's perfect. Doesn't matter how far advanced you think your technology or your just natural ability is. There is no guarantee. So I think here, something may have just faded into the reality, was able to be seen. And once the creature, whatever it was, realized it was being spied upon, then the magic was broken. That connection faded.
Well, here's something cool. Alicia just wrote us back while we were recording this, and I should have written her several days ago, but I was like, oh, no, we're going to do this one today. And I sent her a note. I didn't expect to hear back from her, especially since she sent this story in 5 years ago. But, and then I'm like, hey, wait, we're going to record it right now. Can you answer this question? And here's what I wanted to know. It's like, what about her hunting partner? Where was this person? What did they see? Did they talk about it at all? Because she didn't mention it towards the end of the story. She only said, well, they scouted out the location and where the deer were ahead of time. And she wrote back and said, well, on the day of this incident, my hunting partner, Dan, and I went out together. We took his truck and parked along an old logging road. From there, we hiked to our respective spots. Always mindful of safety, we had a planned meetup time and knew where each other's blinds were located. Our blinds were always spaced a good distance from each other. This was for firearm safety and to avoid hunting the same game trails. That season, I think we were around 3/4 to 1 mile away from each other. The distance from the logging road to my blind was further, but given how long ago this was, I can't speak confidently on that distance. Dan and I did meet back up that evening at his truck, and I didn't tell him about what had occurred. It was not until 2023 or 2024, so that's 3, 4, 5 years later, that she finally confided in some like-minded friends about the experience. She says, honestly, it's still unsettling to think about. Despite this, I remain an avid outdoors woman and hunter. Nature and the quiet recesses of the wilderness still call to me. I think they always will. Please do not hesitate to reach out if you have any additional questions. And thank you for taking the time to read my story. You guys rock. So thank you for that, Alicia.
Very
thank
nice. You
yeah. yeah, it's very, very kind. Yeah, this one's going to stick with me. I really like this story. It's very interesting. If you're out there, you're a listener, and you want to send a dead letter in about something similar that happened to you, we're saying it's okay. So send it.
Yes, please do, because I personally, and I think a lot of folks feel the same way, what I really enjoy about these types of stories and experiences is that it provides to me a little, I don't know if it's proof, but just evidence that indeed, the world is much more magical than we like to give it credit for. And there was a time when all of this may have been real. All the fairy tales, all the myths, all the legends you've heard about, maybe there was a time when these things were more apparent. And that's the golden age, as it's called, when mystical beings and humans walked together and shared the earth. And it was a good time. And then it started to sour, and all these magical beings took refuge literally into the earth, into perhaps another realm. And I'm not saying actual caves, although that maybe that's the case, I don't know, but just a liminal space where they retreated to because they started not to enjoy the world that we were building for ourselves as humans. And so they're still here, they still pop out, and they still rule their areas, but those spaces are still special to them. And maybe every once in a while, if we're very quiet and patient and we're in sync with nature, maybe we can glimpse that magic again before the spell is broken.
The Astonishing Dead Letter Office is hosted by Scott Philbrick and Faris Burgess and is executive produced by Tess Feifel. The show is edited and mixed by Sarah Voorhees-Wendell at VW Sound. The theme is based on the Astonishing Legends theme by Judson Crane at Founder Music, arranged by Alan Carissia, who composes all the other music in the show. Tommy Beaver Design created the logo. The announcer is John Bowler. That's me. Stories are lightly edited for length, content, and readability, but otherwise presented as they're sent to us. We're always looking for more dead letters, so if you have a story of your own you'd like to share, email it to deadletteroffice@astonishinglegends.com. Please include how you would like to be credited. First name only, first name last initial, anonymous, a pseudonym. Let us know. Due to the number of emails coming in, we often cannot respond, but we do read them all. No part of this show may be reproduced anywhere without permission. Copyright Astonishing Legends Productions.
Astonishing Legends is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things that people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Potential savings will vary.
Not available in all states or situations.
Every day, you moisturize your face, hands, and skin. But what about your dry eyes? It's time they got some attention. With Refresh Optive Mega 3, a lubricating eye drop that instantly moisturizes and soothes dry eyes. This moisture-rich, preservative-free formula is enhanced with inactive ingredients like flaxseed oil and antioxidants. Its advanced formula supports all three tier film layers, and its moisture-locking technology helps prevent further irritation. Refresh Optive Mega 3 is safe to use as often as needed, so you can make moisturizing your dry eyes part of your wellness routine. Get lasting relief with Refresh Optive Mega 3. Find Refresh online or in the eye drop section at all major retailers. FSA and HSA eligible.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume. Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume. Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.